about childhood diseases or illnesses you think they know?
Childhood diseases were hard to handle many times because of lack of medical facilities and lack of money to carry people to the hospital when they needed to go. In our community, in the spring, a clinic would be held to give people who needed typhoid and diphtheria shots. Some of the shots had to be given in rounds of two and maybe three. So announcements would be posted, letting the community know when the doctor and the nurse would be there to give the shot. It was up to the parents to be sure that they got their children there. So some parents did not take the time to get their children immunized. Sometimes the shots were given at the same time people were holding cotton in the field, and when you got your shot and your arm got sore and you worked in the field, it made it even worse. So many times children did not want to take the shots for this reason. The doctors made house calls and any community doctor seemed to have some type of disease that he could handle very, very well. The doctor we had did not live in our community, but he was known as being a good pneumonia doctor. And the doctor, of course, always delivered the babies. And this meant that with the wide area that country doctors covered, there was not much time to give personal attention to the huge number of patients that we might have. Whooping cough, measles, mumps were all diseases that the family usually took care of themselves. Measles needed to be handled carefully because bright light when you had measles could often cause bad eyesight. Another thing I remember, when electricity came through, before electricity came through, the high school where I went to school had a generator that provided electricity for the lights in the school, and the school had a windmill, and the generator was used to provide electricity to the windmill pump, so that when the wind did not blow enough to pump water for us to drink, then the generator could be used to pump the water. The windmill had a big water tank on top, and when the wind was blowing, they tried to keep the tank filled full of water so that we'd always have water to drink in the fountain. But sometimes the wind would not blow for a while, or there would be a leak in the tank or in the pipe or something, and we would have no water to drink from the wind. So the generator would have to be turned on, pump water, so that we had water to drink at school.
Back to Sheriff's Office, now a percentage of the crop that was grown, the students are learning, but besides that, were there any rules that the learners had to go by, or certain things they had to do? Besides, I know they didn't take care of the animals, because the animals came back to y'all's farm.
Right.
So were there any rules that they had to...
There was probably some agreement about where the renter would pasture his cows, and probably how many he could have. And so the renter always had his own garden, his own well, and probably other hatches for like the watermelons or peanuts or something like that. And to this day, I don't know what arrangement was made about firewood, because the renter had to have firewood, but I don't know whether the landowner provided the firewood or whether firewood had to be bought by the renter. I can't remember.
Is there anything else you can think of that you'd like to?
Well, one of the things that I had a big problem with was going to a very small school, and the first through the fourth grade with only one teacher, and then going to a high school where there were many, many students and riding the bus. There seemed to be some rule when I was growing up that if you lived within a mile of your school, you could not ride a bus. And I lived only a few blocks from my school, so it didn't bother me that much. But when I was in the fourth grade and ready to be promoted to the field, I had to change school. And at the time I changed to the high school, there were only two people in the fourth grade who went to the high school. I was one, and there was one boy. And riding the school bus was such a new experience, and the school was so big that I was afraid I would get lost. But my big brother, who was going to school, said he would help me find my room once. So he took me to my room once, and he said, "From now on, you can find your own room." And I did all right until the bus stopped at a different door and caused me to get off in another hall, and I had a hard time finding my room back. And that year we had an unusually big crop, and I had to miss the first 2 weeks I went to school, the first day of school, so that the teacher would know I was coming, and then I missed 2 weeks, and when I went back, the teacher said, "I thought I was supposed to have enough students." And so it took me a few weeks to get caught up with my work. But to me, the most exciting thing in the world was catching the bus to go to school. I left to go to school and I always cried. I had missed the day out of school. And because if you missed the day out of school, at my house, if you missed the day out of school, there were only two things wrong. You were either sick or you had to work. And to prove you weren't sick, you had to eat breakfast. If you could not eat breakfast, you were too sick to go to school. And if I couldn't go to school, I cried.
Now, how big was your high school compared to your elementary school?
At my small school, one teacher taught four grades. And when I went to high school, there was one teacher for every grade.
How many people out there in each grade? Was there a lot of?
Yes, there were a lot. There might be 35 to 40 students per class.
Is that it?
A lot. When I was in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, a lot of students did not go to school. You didn't have to go to school. Back then, they did not have a compulsion. And I know if there was an illness in the home, I know of one girl who only got to go to school through 6th grade because of a deformity and a child family. She couldn't go to school regularly enough to make the grades, so she stopped when she was in sixth grade. And big families or small, if they were living on the farm, were kept out of school. And in the fall and in the winter, a lot of times the schools would try to help the farmer by having half days of school. We'd go to school a little bit early in the morning, and all the classes would be jammed together. There'd be no study period, no PE, and we would not eat lunch. So that we could leave the school by 12 and rush home and grab a bite to eat and be in the field by 1 o'clock. And they might do this for 3 or maybe a month until the farmers caught up their work. And this worked out well for the school because more students would stay in school, but still didn't have a half day, and it worked well.
Okay.